Thanks for tuning in to Avenue Christian Church's podcast. Our hope for you is that you would find new life in Christ from wherever you're listening today. We pray that today's message encourages you to connect to, become like, and proclaim Jesus in your everyday. Now, let's dive in.
Resurrection of Jesus, as Wendy read, is the reason that we're here today celebrating and worshiping and praising. The reality of the resurrection is something that we not only do and celebrate on Easter Sunday, but something that our church and many churches all over the world celebrate every Sunday. And we don't do that just because he rose from the dead early on a Sunday morning, but because we believe that the resurrection has changed our lives forever. But just the mere reality of Jesus rising from the dead is not what can actually change us. Rather, it's our response to his resurrection in our life. And so this morning, for a few moments together in God's word, I want us to look at a few different responses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because I believe that the reality of Jesus' resurrection requires a response from all of us here this morning, not only today, but every day of our lives. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start in verse 1 in just a moment. If you're grabbing a Bible that's in the seat back in front of you, it's going to be on page 811. Feel free also to pull up your YouVersion Bible app and pull up your device and get that app going. And if you don't have a physical copy of a Bible, we would love for you to walk home, take one home today. So there are some English Bibles, some Spanish Bibles that are in the back wall of our auditorium. Please take one home today. It is a gift from our church to you. We would love for you to walk away with God's word in your hand. And before we dive into God's word, just want to let you know that here at Avenue, we teach from God's word, the Bible, every week because we believe God has primarily spoken to us through his word. And not only do we believe the Bible is God's word and that it's true, but that it's very applicable to our lives today. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 and following, we're going to go through this resurrection story and see the responses from different people who first saw the resurrected Savior Jesus. Verse 1 says this: after the Sabbath at dawn of the first day of the week, that's Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, that's Mary the mother of Jesus, went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and he sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. So we have two different sets of people here. We have the two Marys, and we'll talk about their response in a moment. But we also have the two Roman guards. And as we see there in verse 4, they were so afraid, so terrified, that they began to shake and be scared, and they played dead. They weren't actually dead, but they played dead. They laid on the ground hoping that the angel of the Lord wouldn't know that they were still living and breathing. I don't know, some of you have dogs at home. It's pretty cool when you're able to teach your dog how to play dead. You know, they do it and they get up and you give them a treat. Then for others, your parents and you have little ones, and as they get older and older, you know, what happens is they begin to do this thing in the home when they're doing something that they know they shouldn't be doing. And you're watching them do it, and they pretend that you're not there. They pretend that they don't even recognize you, and they keep doing it. And just because you're saying something to them, they just don't recognize it. Like, you're dead to me, mom and dad. I'm gonna do whatever I wanna do. But for these guys, the response to the empty tomb and the angel of the Lord is just to play dead. Now, I don't think any of us here this morning are playing dead to the reality of the resurrection. But I think there could be some of us here this morning which the resurrection story of Jesus Christ, you've heard it. It's been a part of your tradition growing up. It's a story that maybe hasn't had an impact on you in many years. Like, Jesus died, Jesus rose again. How does that impact me on Easter Monday? And if that's where you're at this morning, maybe you've turned a deaf ear, a blind eye to the reality of the resurrection, I would just want to encourage you just to keep your ears open a little bit more. Keep your eyes open a little bit more. Just lean in a little bit more this morning as we look at some other responses, because I believe their responses can be an encouragement to you today. And so let's look at then the two Mary's responses in verse 5. It says this, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Now I have told you.'" See, for Mary Magdalene and Mary, mother of Jesus, they not only saw that the tomb was empty, they not only saw the clothes that Jesus was wrapped in laying there, but they listened to the word from the angel. But not only did they see, not only did they listen, I have a hunch that it triggered their memory, that they remembered a similar empty tomb scene maybe 6 months, 9 months, a year prior. You know, there's a story in the Gospels in which John records an instance in which there's these two sisters, Martha and Mary. It's a different Mary, Mary number three in our resurrection story. Martha, Mary, and they have a brother named Lazarus. And in the story, Lazarus gets sick. And at this point, Jesus has been in doing his earthly ministry. He's healing people. He's curing people. He's saving people. He's casting out demons. He's doing this amazing supernatural work. And they reach out. They get word to Jesus as the disciples. Say, "Hey, our brother Lazarus is sick. We know that you love us and care about us and love him and care about him. Come, because we know that you can heal him. Come, and we know that you can help him to feel better." And what Jesus does is he stays put. He doesn't come. And Lazarus continues to get sick, and Lazarus dies. And even then, Jesus still doesn't come. Scripture tells us that he waited 4 days to get there. And so maybe for you this morning, you're feeling like, how can I believe in this Jesus when I feel like he has disappointed me? When I've asked and prayed for him to work and to move and to show up and to shift my circumstances, and he chooses not to. And if that's what you're feeling about Jesus this morning, like, I get that. I understand that. My family gets that. My family understands that. There's many of you who have been disappointed by Jesus, and these two sisters, Mary and Martha, feel that disappointment. But look at their response to Jesus. In John chapter 11, starting in verse 21, she says this, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." So Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And so Martha answered, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." You see, in Martha's response, she knew who Jesus was. She knew what his purpose was, that he was to come into this world to be our Savior, to restore us to right relationship with God, that our imperfections, our brokenness, my sin, your sin, has separated us from our perfect God and Creator. And yet God sent his Son Jesus into this world to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to take the punishment for my sin, for your sin, and that by believing in him, we then could be restored to right relationship with God and have new life with him right now and forevermore. Now, Martha may not have understood the whole death of Jesus in that moment, but she understood that Jesus was coming to save and redeem people so they could be in right relationship with God. She was confident in the hope of eternal life, that this broken world is not her home, and that where her brother Lazarus was at was in a better place than where she was at right now. She understood all of that. And yet Jesus says, That's true, but there's something more. There's new life that I want you to experience right now. And so the story continues, and Jesus then talks to Mary, the younger sister, and they have a conversation, and then Mary and Martha lead Jesus and some of their family out to the empty tomb. And in verse 38 of John 11, we read this interaction. It says this: Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. Sorry, it wasn't empty. It was full. It was full at that point. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Verse 39, take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been in there 4 days. That tomb stinks right now. You pictured the green and it's bad. Verse 40, then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. In that moment, Lazarus and Mary and Martha, their lives were changed forever. They realized that Jesus not only was coming to give them an eternity in heaven, but he wanted to change their life right here, right now. And the testimony, the story that their lives tell of Jesus's work in their life is something that has impacted many people for these last 2,000 years. But then fast forwarding to the empty tomb, which Mary, mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene were at, their lives had been changed by Jesus. And the resurrection was a reminder that he was still changing their present life. I think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, for a moment. She was pregnant when she was a teenager, wasn't married yet. And in that culture, she was then ostracized and pushed away by family and community. And then within a big Roman census, she was taken out of her home to go back to a different area where she didn't really know anyone. And the first few years of Jesus being on this earth, her and her husband were on the run, making sure that they were protecting their sweet baby boy. Her life was being changed because of this boy that she never asked for. And yet she continued to believe. Her circumstances were not like any other Jewish girl's circumstances. And yet she continued to have faith. And even as she grew older, we know that in scripture that Jesus' dad Joseph passed away at some point. We don't know exactly when, but he wasn't around during the death and resurrection time, the ministry of Jesus. And so Mary then was faced with being a single mom and her kids growing up. And in that culture, once again, the odds were against her to continue on. She had to depend on the support of so many other people. And yet she continued to believe. She knew that her son was not only just her son, but that he indeed was God's son, the savior of the world. And that she was willing to risk it all and follow him to the cross and follow him to the tomb and continue to go out now and tell people a message in which it would cause persecution and possible death because she was saying that Jesus is alive. What about Mary Magdalene? We read about Mary Magdalene in scripture and she's given not the best reputation. Not because that's how scripture says, it's because that's how other people around her viewed her. She was demon-possessed, full of demons, but Jesus cast those demons out of her. She had many different relationships with different men and men mistreated her and she tried to find value and worth in those relationships and they gave her none. She was used and abused and yet, when she encountered Jesus, it changed the trajectory of her life forever. Jesus gave her hope. Jesus gave her purpose. And she began to follow Jesus. And what we know about Mary Magdalene is that her testimony, her act of faith that we know of today from scripture is that she gave an extravagant offering, an offering of praise and worship, in which she poured a year's worth salary of expensive perfume at the feet of Jesus to honor him and prepare him to go to the cross and rise again. You see, Mary, mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, when they encountered Jesus, their lives were changed forever. And when they encountered the empty tomb, the word from the angel, they knew that that life change was continuing on. They were confident in their eternity, but they also knew that life was different right now. And so we see them respond here in verse 8 to what the angel has to say. So the women, it says, hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Yet suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said, and they came to him, clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." See, the reality of the resurrection brought out a response from these two Marys that showed that their lives had been changed forever. They'd seen it before, but this was the rubber stamp that they needed to continue to tell people about Jesus. And for the last 2,000 years, whether it's been in the Word or you've heard the testimonies and stories of other people, so many of us have been changed because of Jesus. So I ask you this morning, if you've never made that decision to allow Jesus' resurrection to change your life forever, what's holding you back? Because I believe that no matter what you are going through, Jesus wants to change your life, not just in eternity, but he wants to change your life right now. He, as we sang earlier, he wants to give us hope when situations are hopeless. He wants to give us joy in the midst of difficult and unbearable circumstances. He wants to give us peace when life is chaotic and going crazy around us. He wants to give us hope in hopeless situations. He wants to give us love when we're feeling unlovable and alone. He wants to offer you forgiveness when you know that what you've done causes shame and guilt. And he says, "No, I've taken that away because of the cross." See, we celebrate the resurrection today, and we celebrate every day because Jesus' death and resurrection has changed our lives forever. So how are you going to respond this morning? I want you all to take out that response card right now. It's in the seat back in front of you. Go ahead and do that now, and you can write your name, phone, and email on the bottom. But what I want to do is challenge you to respond in a way that you feel led to respond. Maybe for you this morning, you are ready to respond to Jesus, to put your faith and trust in him as your Lord and Savior, believing that he died on the cross to take the punishment for your sins, that he rose from the dead so that you and I, by faith, can have new life right now and into eternity. If that's where you're at this morning, I want you to put an X on that first line. At the end of the service, you can drop these off in the offering boxes. For others of you, maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you're still struggling and wrestling with this and you have questions about it. I want to be very clear. No one's trying to force you to make a decision this morning. I'm not trying here to wake you up if you're still playing dead, but I am going to poke you a little bit. I want to be able to talk and share, and some of our pastors and staff, we want to be able to talk and share and listen to your concerns and questions that are holding you back from taking this step of faith. And so that's where you're at this morning. That last line that says, "I want a pastor to pray with me this week or talk with me," put an X on that line. And we will reach out to you this week and set up a time to chat with you. For others of you, we know that in Scripture it tells us that once we believe in Jesus, we are called to publicly proclaim our faith through baptism. That we would see the resurrection and we would tell people about the resurrection power in our lives. And what baptism is, very simply put, is an outward expression of an inward heart transformation. So what we do is when we baptize someone, as we see here in the Bible, they are immersed under the water to represent Jesus' death and burial. And they are brought back up out of the water to represent his resurrection. And the water isn't special. The person isn't special. None of that is special. What is special is that you are declaring to those around you that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus. And this is your first act of telling others that you believe. And so maybe when you grew up and growing up, you were sprinkled or something like that as a kid or whatever it was, but you've never publicly proclaimed your faith through baptism. And I always encourage you, if that's where you're at today, I put an X on that second line of wanting to be baptized, because we want to help you take that next step in your faith journey. And last but not least, those that are here today, you've made that decision. You've trusted in Jesus. Easter is a celebration. And so I ask you, who are you telling? Who are you sharing? Who are you proclaiming this truth with? And it's not just telling and sharing and going out to the rooftops, but who are you interacting with on a consistent basis and helping them know about Jesus and follow him? That's why I love at the end of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gives his disciples who have been changed because of his resurrection this command. He says this, verse 19, he says, "Therefore go and make disciples," that's followers of Jesus, "of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." My Christian brother and sister, if you are not actively going and telling and sharing and helping your circle of people follow Jesus, has the resurrection really having the impact it should have on your heart and life? If you're not there, I want to let you know that these two verses, if we were in the South, these would be all y'all verses. All y'all verses are verses that, yes, there's an individual response, but there's an expectation that you are responding together in community. All y'all are doing this together. And so for you, if you're struggling in this and you want to grow in your faith, you want to be actively discipling others as well as being poured into by other people, I would encourage you to fill out that third line, put an X by, "I would like my next step to get connected at Avenue." We'd love to come alongside you and support you and encourage you in your faith journey so that you and I together are actively making disciples, helping people find new life in Jesus Christ. And so right now, we're gonna give you a moment to respond. Dylan's coming out and he's gonna play the piano as we reflect in just a moment. And after we take this time to respond, like I said, at the end of the service, you can put these cards in those white offering boxes on your way out. They just slide straight in. And maybe you're at a place where one of these responses don't resonate with you. Can you still fill out the information and maybe write something else on the back? Or if you're not sure what to respond or how to respond, still fill out that information, put it there, because this week we want to pray for you. If you are here with us today, we want to pray for you. If you're joining us online today or maybe sometime later this week, go ahead, DM us your response of how you want to respond to the resurrection. Because if you're here with us, we want to pray for you, because we believe God has brought you here and that his resurrection requires a response that can change your life, my life, our lives forever. And so in this moment of reflection, I want you to think and pray thoughts that you think God hears those thoughts. And after we're done in this time of response, some of my favorite people are gonna come up and they're gonna lead us in taking communion together. The communion cups are in the seat backs in front of you. There's cracker on the bottom, juice on the top. You can be prepared to take those in just a second. But right now, let's take a moment to reflect and respond to the reality of Christ's resurrection for us. If you need extra communion cups as well, there's some in the Bibles next to you. And if you need extras, there are some back at that tech area back there. So let me pray for us as we prepare to take communion together. Jesus, we thank you for your death and your resurrection. As we celebrate your body broken and your blood shed, we know that our sins are forgiven. but we also today stand victoriously with you because you rose from the dead. The tomb is empty, Lord. And so would you help us to respond in that reality today? We thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for caring for us, for dying to rise again for us. We love you, and we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
What a good word we just got to experience. If you have been impacted by what you have heard today and would like to know more about how to get involved here at Avenue, you can. Head to our website at avenuechristian.com. We believe that the good news of Jesus is the most viral message in the world. Be a part of the kingdom movement by subscribing and sharing this message on social media and with your friends and family. Thanks again for listening.